During opera news on the air today, some of the excitement of the 1916 Vienna premiere will be recaptured by two of opera's all-time great singers, Maria Gerritzer and Lotte Lehmann. Miss Gerritzer was...
Welcome to the Operatic Past Cast, a presentation and preservation of operatic memories and impressions produced by Donald Kollop.
For the opera's premiere, this program was pre-recorded a few weeks ago when Miss Lehmann was at the Metropolitan Opera here in New York to assist in the direction of this season's production of Der Rosenkavalier. John Gutman, an assistant manager of the Metropolitan Opera, will MC the program.
Episode 83. On February 2nd, 1963, radio listeners heard an interview conducted by John Gutman of Lotte Lehmann and Maria Gerritzer, two sopranos well known for their appearances in operas by Richard Strauss. In this part, they talk about Richard Strauss as a conductor, Die Frau in a Schatten, Elektra, Salome, Intermezzo, and Der Rosenkavalier. They also talk about Puccini, Tosca, and contemporary singing. Part 2 of 2.
How about the singing of Ariadne? To me, it is one of those great, typical
beautiful
Strauss soprano
beautiful
things. Well, how about the difficulty?
It's no difficulty at all. It's very high, written very high, composed. And then he makes phrases, really, like from here to Brooklyn. You choke to
and
death. You choke to death. So I say, Richard, if I should take that in one breath, I choke. He said, that's fine. After the performance, you can choke. But you, before the performance, you will sing it as I compose it. And really, and that one phrase, I studied with him 3 weeks. I didn't choke today, and I sang it in one breath. It's keep that
and schön as well.
Schön.
And now they changed it and have that ein schönes, schönes. Mm.
And there was no breath originally. In
oh, not with me. He would kill us.
I breathed.
You did.
Then I did it.
No, it's very easy.
It isn't.
Was he very disciplined?
You make it ein schönes was.
Yes.
No, I sing it in one breath. Maybe.
Wonderful. I couldn't.
About three. It took me 3 weeks, but you didn't work 3 weeks.
No, one breath took you 3 weeks, madam.
No, to study with him.
Well, this
if you
is
take
an interesting
it
question.
Daily. You know, so many times, uh-huh, every day, longer and longer, you did it.
It's a little late that you tell me that.
Yes, I can quite remember, but you might go home and try it.
I'm sure you would do it, Lotte.
Let me ask you a question, more a question of principle in this connection. How difficult was he, for instance, breath? Now, for anything written in this beautiful, spun-up, high tessitura, as you say, breathing and not to breathe in the wrong spot is very important. How tough was he? You said you didn't breathe where he insisted that
I
you
didn't
did breathe where, but I'm here.
Yeah, no, I never had a very perfect technique, you see. And I learned to breathe sometimes and give an expression to that breath. It's really swindle what I did, you know?
Well, I wouldn't call it a swindle.
An English cheating.
I wouldn't call it a swindle as long as you got away. Now, let me, madame.
But madame, do you recall a phrase? When Walter Manhattan moved to Hermes, endless.
Yes.
And he gave you all the freedom, and you stood there and sang that Hermes, that high note. It couldn't be high enough. It's beautiful. And there, and that he came.
Yes,
on account of our high note.
No, but that was not so difficult.
No, beautiful.
The difficulty was in this first phrase that we were talking about.
That was the only difficult
phrase. Yeah.
Did he conduct your first performance?
Yes.
Strauss, the conductor in Vienna?
Yes. But how he conducted.
Yes.
It was impossible to be wrong with Strauss.
I sometimes succeeded.
He did.
And what happened when you succeeded?
He was
a wonderful, great friend and great composer. He was in every way marvelous.
He was a great conductor.
I've seen him many times. He carried. It was impossible that you fail. Is that right, Lotte?
Do you ask a fail?
Oh,
Madame Lehmann.
I have to tell you a funny story. Later on, when I sang Ariadne, that when Bacchus appears, Ariadne says, I greet you, you messenger of all messengers. And I was absent-minded one evening, and I didn't sing that at all. In the contrary, I thought, why does this idiot of tenor, why doesn't he start to sing that? And until the end of the opera, I didn't realize.
You mean you missed it completely?
I missed it completely. Yeah. And Strauss came to my room and he said, have you gone crazy? What was the matter with you that you didn't sing that? I said, oh my God, that was I didn't realize that. He wrote me then a card and he said in the card, next time you have to sing as a punishment, you have to sing this phrase twice, but I will forgive you because you sang very beautifully.
Why do you surprise me that you make such a terrible mistake?
Yeah, I do. And I even admit
she
it.
She admits it.
Later, now you admit it.
Well, the question is, did you admit it at the time, too?
Oh, I think
this
so.
Yeah.
I was always rather stupid.
Well, mistakes always happen. The question is only, I've always felt, and I'd like to have your really expert opinion on this, is it true, would you agree with me, that a great composer who happens also to be a conductor is much more lenient as a conductor than a conductor who is only a conductor.
Oh, absolutely. I think that Strauss was the most lenient of all conductors with whom I have served.
Lotte, but only if you know, if you sang that, what he composed, and you know what he composed. He was very, could have been very rude if somebody sang something and was not in the
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
But he was not small-minded.
No,
if one made
not
a mistake,
no, no.
Or if one was not, I mean, I remind you, we both were not really terribly perfect in rhythm.
I never was perfect.
No, I also not. And he always has forgiven. He was always terribly
good.
Nice.
Because we know what he wanted.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wanted.
Well, that only confirms what we were saying. It is only the fairly small-minded conductor who says, I don't care how beautiful you sing. I have no conductors who don't care one bit how wonderful you act, how wonderful you look, how much you are in the character. That 1/16th, remember?
No, he was not so small-minded. Contrary, he said, so long as she gives me that impression I had in my mind, she can do what she said, all the liberty.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that I've always felt is true of all great conductors, but particularly of composer conductors.
You know, our high C could have been endless.
We should find out where we should go get a little rest.
Overtime.
Your own?
Madame Jeritza and Lehmann, no doubt we could continue for a long time on Ariadne, but I cannot resist the temptation having you both here and knowing how closely you're both connected with Richard Strauss and with more than just only Ariadne to ask you a few more questions about your work with Richard Strauss. I seem to remember that the work immediately following Ariadne was Frau ohne Schatten, and both of you were connected with that work too.
Yes.
Madame Lehmann, what did you sing in Frau ohne
Schatten? I sang the Dyer's Wife. And Jeritza was the empress.
Yeah, I was the empress.
Ach, and very beautiful.
And you were beautiful,
oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Now say something nice about me. Yeah, will you?
The only, as I remember, Frau ohne Schatten.
I don't think I have so much time on the radio to tell all the nice things I think about you.
Oh, thank you.
You wouldn't believe it.
No, I wouldn't. But thank you.
Well,
but the people will believe it because they know I always. So let's go on.
Now, do tell us something about. Let me say quickly about Frau ohne Schatten. Once again, it's a very special work, and once again, in spite of the success of Salome, Elektra, and Rosenkavalier in this house, and from today on, I hope also, Ariadne auf Naxos, Frau ohne Schatten is another Richard Strauss opera which has not been given in this house, and which is given very little in Europe, too. What is your opinion on that?
Yes, because it requires a great, great deal of the first-class, really first-class artists. Every one of them must be absolutely first-class.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the only reason. The book is very confused.
I agree.
And to find through that book, through this labyrinth of words.
I didn't find myself through it.
No, I believe really, that, because there are really many people. You know, I have written about it. I have written a book about the operas which I have studied and sung with Strauss, and naturally Frau ohne Schatten is in it. And believe me, in writing it, sometimes I was quite
you
confused.
You know, you labyrinth.
I said, what's the matter now? How does it go on? Yeah. And that is asked too much of people,
but
of an audience.
Very true, but...
The music is heavenly.
Music is beautiful.
Heavenly.
Music is beautiful. But I also think Madame Gerard says quite right. It has enormous demands on the cast, starting with two sopranos. Where do you find these two sopranos for
and
these
and
roles?
And
a big mezzo part, too.
Yeah. And a tenor.
Yeah. Now, but tell us something about the... Were you both in the world premiere together?
Yes.
Was that in Vienna? Mm-hmm. Yes. And that was Strauss again conducting it?
No, I think that was Schalk.
No, Strauss conducted it.
Are you sure?
I'm positive sure.
I've forgotten that.
Yes, he interrupted me too many times, so I never forget that, because I was hurt.
What kind of success was it?
Oh, tremendous.
It was a great
success. Oh, tremendous. It was a wonderful performance. I mean, we were all very good.
Oh, yes, we were very good, that's true.
Well, I'm glad you admit it. I'm very glad you admit it. It is so...
But I don't think it was a box office.
No, it certainly wasn't.
No,
it never has
been since. Lotte, because I tell you, as you very cleverly said, it was a labyrinth of mysterious scenes and everything. From one scene to the other, we never know where we come and where we go.
I always feel a bad libretto, a not very good libretto, can be carried by great music, but then the libretto mustn't be as demanding as this libretto is.
Yes.
What I mean is, you have a stupid little story like Trovatore and beautiful music, nobody cares much.
Now, for instance, pardon me to interrupt, he said to me, I wrote a beautiful part for you, the Ferberin, and 4 months later, I changed my mind, you sing the Kaiserin. I said, why? And he said, because I need just the Kaiserin. And so I said, my gracious me, I told everybody I sing the Ferberin, and Ferberin, the people will think something is wrong. So do I have more now? I come to Ariadne back in the Vorspiel. I said, do I have more to sing than the Ferberin? And he said, no. I said, what do we sing in the first act? Do I have plenty of high notes? He said, not one note. You don't sing, you don't open your mouth. I said, and so what in the second act? You don't open the second act. It belongs to the Ferberin. And I said, who is the Ferberin? I said, Lotte Lehmann. He said, that's wonderful, but why couldn't I sing a little bit of her part too in the second act? He said, no, you start in the third act, and in the third act she has nothing to do.
Yes, you know, it's very...
I'm amazed that you're still on speaking terms to each other, my lady.
No, you know, I think it's he has explained that very, very well in his whole music.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, when she starts, when the Empress starts, before her sings the Amme. Terrible. Dreadfully. And Bella Palin, who sang this, said once to him, look, you have written this so terribly difficult for the nurse here, and it is such a really shrieking what we have to do. And then comes the Empress, and she sings so marvelously. And he says, yes, I did that purposely as an introduction, so that the Empress especially shines like the sun. And Palin gave him a wonderful answer. You have a monument in the hearts of all mezzo-sopranos.
I can believe that. But I must say, selling a new part to a soprano by telling her that she wouldn't open her mouth in two acts is something which very few composers could have done.
I took it very graciously. Because
he knew exactly that when she has the whole ending and the Ferberin has nothing, that would be just right for you.
Bravo, Lotte, that's good. I mean, one word you say, I had the last word.
Definitely.
Sometimes I think it's just as well that we have no Richard Strausses around anymore. We have enough problems.
Everybody loved him. Yeah. No, I wouldn't say that. He was wonderful.
He certainly was.
Wonderful as a composer, he was wonderful as a friend
and a conductor,
and he was a very good statesman too. He knew what you wanted.
Yeah, I know that. Now I know, Madame Gerard, obviously, that you were very prominently connected also with Salome, which I think Madame Lehmann was not.
No.
How about Elektra?
She was not she was not a sinful woman.
No.
I don't know whether that is a compliment.
No, I don't take it as such.
How about Elektra?
No,
we didn't like it. I didn't like it.
You never...
I love Elektra. I think it's a
wonderful. Yes, but I don't like to...
No, I never did.
I don't like the whole evening dig in dirt and dirt and be so dirty. The whole performance is awful.
But
the music is wonderful.
The music
is glamorous.
How about the later Strauss? How about, I know that you sing Arabella, but you did not sing Arabella.
No.
Anything about Capriccio? No.
No, Capriccio. But Intermezzo. Sang Intermezzo. And you see, you should give Intermezzo, but it should be translated into English. The word is too important.
Thank you for the unintended plug, Madame Lehmann. I quite agree. We will soon find out Intermezzo is a very... Well, tell us something about Intermezzo. This is something nobody knows anything about.
It is it has happened in Strauss's life, and he has written the libretto himself.
The book himself, yes.
Kapellmeister, the conductor Storch is he, and then his wife is, and I sang his wife, and she really fights the whole through the whole opera, and
he plays cards.
He plays cards, yeah. And then on the end, everything is fine, and you know the greatest compliment which Strauss could ever make me. He said one day, "You know, Lotte, you really resemble my wife." I had to swallow three times before I said, "Thank you very much."
Now, are you quite sure that was
Lotte? But he meant it well.
Are you quite sure that was a compliment?
That was not a compliment.
It was a compliment from his point of view. It was. He loved his wife so much. And you know, when I studied with him, Frau Unerschatten, the Dyer's wife in Garmisch, he said to me when I went away, you have seen now scenes between me and my wife. And believe me that one of her tantrums is to me more important and more enchanting than the adoration of the whole world.
I swear that is true. I believe you, Madame Lehmann, but I don't think they make husbands like this anymore.
No, perhaps not as better, no.
I
spoil the wives too much.
But let's stick with Intermezzo for a moment. Do you really think, you know the work, although you haven't sung it, do you really think it's musically strong enough?
Oh, it is not on the same level as the opera.
It will be performed in concert version here this winter.
I think that is very wrong.
Yeah, because the story is very important.
It is a comedy, what has to be acted on the stage.
Yeah. Well, we cannot go on and finish talking about Strauss as we have. Madame Yeltsin is showing signs of distress. but we must, Madame, you must, and Madame Lehmann.
We talk too long.
I don't think so, and there's always the scissors that can take it out. No, but
and
we
don't
can...
Don't keep me out, please. You can take anything out you want from me.
I don't believe that either. We will very judiciously, for every word of Jared said that's taken out, one Lehmann will be taken out, and vice
that's
versa.
That's in Ariadne.
Like an Ariadne.
Exactly. It's in Ariadne.
Now, play the role of the composer.
No, of the music teacher. And what I just said will be just as untrue what he said in Ariadne. Right. Now, what I want to say is we cannot possibly, after having had all these fascinating highlights, which really only you two could give our audience, stop talking about Richard Strauss and von Hofmannsthal and not having said one single word about you-know-what, about Rosenkavalier. Obviously, we have talked about it often enough, but here once again, we have two ladies who in this very house and more often in Vienna have sung Octavian to my left and the Marschallin to the right.
Oh, no, a lot of sing Marschallin and Rosenkavalier.
And
not
Sophie.
In the same performance.
And Sophie. She sings everything.
Yeah, it's a little beginner.
Yeah.
But
you were saying only Octavian.
Only Octavian, and I recall for hours and hours and days, Strauss walked with me in the Stadtpark, and he learned that I should walk like a man, you know. I tripled, you know. And he walked with me for hours and hours to learn that I walk like a man. I never got that over, that too.
When you sang...
But he said it was all right.
Madame Lehmann, when you sang Octavian, where did you take your walking lessons?
I think on the stage.
But I think with her, the Octavia, I mean, she was the master.
But the order was, as always, you know that you were not the only soprano to do all three roles. In fact, in our present generation, Lisa della Casa has done all three in succession.
Oh,
but the order is always Sophie, Octavian, Marshall in, is
yes,
it not?
Yes,
I didn't know until recently that you sang Sophie too.
Oh, yes, I was the second cast in Hamburg. Elisabeth Schumann sang, and she was an enchanting Sophie.
Yes, I think she was the best Sophie.
I must say, Rothenberger was enchanting in this performance. Yeah. Oh, I liked it.
Madame Lehmann is now talking about one of our present Sophies in the present presentation, and shall we say that it is a very lovely one, partly and largely because Madame Lehmann was good enough to join us again and supervise our staging. It was a most emotional occasion some months ago when we had the first performance of this Rosenkavalier. And you weren't there, Madame Jensen. You never come to Rosenkavalier.
I was in Florida.
You never come to Rosenkavalier. Oh,
no. Yes, I have been in Rosenkavalier.
There's a story around, do contradict me if I'm misinformed, as I usually am. There's a story around that, and we know you come very often. You have your Wednesday night subscription. We always have you
Wednesday,
to see.
Wednesday, Monday, and Saturday.
Is that all?
Yes, that's all.
But rumor has it that you never come to a performance of one of your of an opera in which there was one of your favorite roles. Is that true? Is that untrue?
Well, tell the truth. I never had a favorite performance. I suffered for every performance I ever sang, and I couldn't afford to say I like that performance better than the other, because I had to be in everyone that what the people and the audience expected from me. But I never choose a real good role for myself. But I liked very much in Huguenot the leading part, because that is a wonderful opera, and that would be just the right thing for the Metropolitan, because you have the real cast for it. You have Price, and you have the tenor, you have the...
I quite agree about Huguenot, and I hope that Mr. Bing is listening. But Madame Lehmann...
Is he against it?
Would be wrong. Madame Lehmann is quite right. You gave me a wonderful speech, Madame Gerritsen. I'm most grateful for it, and you most cunningly avoided my question. And I will make it a little more specific now. Is it true that you never come to a performance of Tosca?
Well, why? Because I studied Tosca with Puccini himself, and I know every movement, although I never was the same in every performance. I don't believe that we are not a machine which you oil and it goes on and it goes the same thread. And I try to be every performance different. But I was really Puccini's creation as Tosca, and I...
So Tosca is the one exception. To Tosca, you don't come.
No.
But you
this
did.
Isn't like I never would think Visidate in concert form or publicly out of a performance, because I promised it to Puccini. That Visidate was a drama itself, and he wanted to build it up, and it goes out, and he never permit to make a bow to give it after the aria.
I hope not.
Well, in Italy, yes, they do.
Yes, but in your time, did you take vows at the end of
Ireland? I remember when in the general rehearsal in Vienna, the baritone was so excited and threw me on the floor, and I thought my nose is bleeding, and I didn't dare to get up, and so the concertmaster gave me
That's a tough one to get in, on that silent orchestra.
And I thought, if I raise now my face with the bloody nose and everything will be horrible. And so all of a sudden say, basta, basta, basta. He come and say, promise me that you always will sing it on your face down. And so we rehearsed it so long till it go on. That was the scene which the people say that's so famous, and it was the outstanding scene. But it was...
And it just all happened by chance.
Chance was a curse out of the scene.
The subject is really Strauss and not Puccini. But since you have brought him up, one quick question. I seem to remember that you two ladies were also connected with a rather fabulous Puccini occasion, to wit, the first performance of the famous Trittico in Vienna. In what part were you, Madame Jensen?
I think Georgette in Il Tabarro.
Il Tabarro and Madame Lehmann.
I was Sua Angelica.
Uh-huh.
And
I suppose by the old rules of competition, you don't remember who the third girl was. You know, there's one
really
in Gianni Schicchi, there's one too.
Yeah, I really
wasn't
don't.
In Reininghaus.
Reining, I think it was.
Reining House. Reining. He married Östwig.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
Well, anyhow, has anyone ever done all these three parts? I know some people who have.
I don't think in Vienna had. Certainly in the time when I was.
And was Puccini there at that time? For that
time? Yes, he came.
He was in Vienna. Yeah. I recall I was in Brussels, and I got a telegram to come immediately to Vienna. And I was ordered, that time we were ordered. There was not like you can, we were ordered.
You mean a management ordered singers at that time?
Absolutely, we were soldiers.
Don't make me envious.
Yes, you might be, because we were soldiers and we were under time. And I was ordered back to Vienna, and Puccini came on Monday to the train to meet me, and she said, you have to sing on Saturday, Il Tabarro. I said...
You mean you didn't know it at all?
I didn't know anything.
She took the place of somebody else, whom Puccini didn't like. I remember that very well.
And
how can
I
you learn
said,
a part in 3 days?
In 3 days, I said, let me sing first Tosca, and Wednesday the performance was scheduled in his honor, a gala performance. So I sang the Tosca on Wednesday, and he came right away home after the performance with me and played for me the first time that part of Il Tabarro of
Georgette. Had you ever heard the opera before?
I never heard nothing, and so from Thursday till Saturday I learned the part and sang really. Saturday evening was the premiere, and then he insisted he'd like to have a white blouse with big red dots. In whole Vienna was not big red dots possible. So he went and we bought 3 yards of a white material, and he himself with a red pencil painted the dots, and I had a blouse with red dots.
Well, that was something.
Oh, I remember. You looked very beautiful. I remember.
Yeah, I look a real Frenchie.
You did.
Well, that's the idea.
Thank you. You're such a darling.
That leads me quite easily to a final question, which I really didn't have in mind, but it's too tempting and I cannot...
This will be something careful.
No, it was terrible all the time. This time you will be in an easy position, but some other people might not be. Madame Gerritsen, you just mentioned that you were, quote, ordered, unquote, to come back from Brussels, where you happened to be, to learn a role in 3 days. Now, you know perfectly well that no such thing could be done today. Are you both ladies implying, or more than implying, that there was more discipline and more rehearsing in your time?
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, my gracious. We were real soldiers. They ordered us, and we were there on the dot. We had to be 15 minutes before the rehearsal, and sometimes we had at 1 o'clock in the night was the performance over, like Wagner and so, and the next day there was no excuse. Yeah. We had to be on the stage and rehearse. In the morning, and we worked. But the trouble is, you know, we, as Strauss said, we will die as students, and I'm very happy about it because I like to die as a student. You never learn enough, and you never will learn enough, because there are so many things. Time marches on, and you have to work with the time. Now, if a student a year learns, it like to be right away big prima donna. They don't want to rehearse. Now I come in bed with all the prima donnas.
Yes, you will.
But I apologize for that, but I give them a good advice. You only succeed and only make yourself éternellement if you really study and try to die as a student. That's if my opinion.
I think that our singers nowadays have a really fantastic technique. It is
how you get the technique if you don't study?
Yeah, but they do. They must do. They don't get that from heaven.
I personally think it isn't a question of technique so much. I agree with Madame Lehmann. We have some pretty good singing in our young singers,
American
singers. But what is it really that has changed? I think what has changed is not so much, or if the attitude of the singers has changed, this is not a cause, this is a consequence. The temptations are so much
bigger. I know what
you
mean.
In your time, although I know that your time is a very short time ago.
Now, let me say something. We have loved the Vienna Opera. We have loved the Metropolitan. We looked at it as our musical home. We were very proud if we had a marvelous ensemble. And that is today not anymore. It is too much today.
Money-minded. But I think I have to take that off. What I see about the prima donnas not learning. Now they love me, then they will hate me.
Well, we discussed that. No, but one thing is very important, which is not even to your credit because you were not responsible for it. You did not have the temptations that young singers have today. Tosca in Vienna Monday night, fly to New York on Tuesday, rehearse for an hour Wednesday morning, and sing Tosca
but
in New York on
Tuesday. But it's not good. It's not good
it's
for
them. It's not good for them.
Certainly isn't good.
I don't approve
good,
with you because you wouldn't have done it.
I don't know. I think if today if I would be a singer yet, I think I would also surrender to this jet age and would go.
No, I won't. I won't.
I'm not so versed.
You see, Madame Gerritz, it's always very easy to resist temptation if there is none.
Yes.
I don't know.
May I say in conclusion, Madame Gerritz and Madame Lehmann, I think that two great singers, such as you, whether you teach or have given up teaching, or whatever you do, you never retire.
Oh, no. I don't think I can retire.
Yeah. You go to opera, you think about opera, you dream about opera. Isn't that true?
Oh, yes. And I write and I paint and I do a lot of
things. I love your paintings, but you never sent me one. You have to send me one.
You love them ahead without knowing them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I saw them.
You saw them.
Well, may I say, and it sounds trivial if I just say thank you. I don't know what our audiences will feel. I know that I haven't had an afternoon as wonderful, as entertaining, and, may I say, as instructive as this one. Thank you, Madame Gerritsen.
Thank you so much, Madame Lehmann.
Thank you, John.
Goodbye, Lottchen. It was a privilege and happy moment.
Thank you for listening to the Operatic Past Cast. Visit the website at operaticpastcast.com. This is your producer, Donald Cullop.